Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio, our special Backlash edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be talking primarily about tonight's WWE WrestleMania Backlash at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. First off, a big happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Thanks to everybody for taking some time out of Mother's Day to join us today. Should be a lot of fun, folks, but we're going to start out with something a little more serious. Tammy Sitch, better known as Sonny in the WWE, has been arrested, and the charges are very serious. Now, we had brought to you before that she had a car accident that resulted in the death of a 75-year-old man. She didn't have a license, apparently. It was speculating whether it was her car, her boyfriend's car. Nobody really seems to know, but I guess it was insured in his name. Her claim was at the time that she was only going about 10 to 15 miles an hour and that the accident did occur, but it was not what caused this man's death, that he, in fact, had a heart attack. And I guess that resulted in the accident. Well, what's happened now is that she has been charged with DWI manslaughter, and that could carry as much as 30 years in prison. So this is very, very serious, and this is unfortunately a long, long road of arrest after arrest on drug charges, assault charges, different charges, and really things really just got out of hand for Tammy Sitch. And there comes a point in time where you just, you know, I remember her in my youth, that Sunny, and wow, you know, she was a pinup, right? You're a teenager, you're whatever you are, you're looking at her and going, whoa, beautiful girl, got her whole future ahead of her, got the world by the ash. I believe she was the number one most downloaded celebrity, forget wrestling, the number one most downloaded celebrity. And things just fell apart, folks. And at some point in time, you have to, what's the right word for it? You have to no longer sympathize. You have to say, look, how many times? You know, you can feel sorry for a person and the way their life spiraled out of control, but at some point you did have control. At some point you were given chance after chance after chance after chance, and it's bad enough that you've chosen the life that most people wouldn't choose. But if it cost the life of someone else, you've crossed the line. You've crossed the line, and there's no other real way to say it except that I can't have a whole bunch of sympathy. Now, if there in any way, shape, or form exists any evidence that this man died of a heart attack and his heart attack resulted in an accident, okay. Let it come out in court, and if that's the truth, then she certainly should not be brought up on DWI manslaughter charges. But, folks, her blood alcohol level was 3.5 times the legal limit. 3.5 times. So, unfortunately, I'm starting to lean toward the side that says she caused the accident. When you're 3.5 times over the legal limit, I find it very difficult to believe that you were driving 10 to 15 miles an hour and you had full control of a vehicle. We'll see. We'll see when the trial comes out and what happens. But at any rate, this has been a meteoric fall from grace, the likes of which I'm not sure I've ever seen with a celebrity. Now, we've seen some celebrities who crashed and burned, but this has just been time after time after time after time. And somewhere along the line, I don't know whether she didn't have the support she needed, she didn't have the the means to get the help, or you would think she would. At some point, someone either completely failed her and didn't make sure she got the help she needed, or she completely failed herself and refused it. But either way, we now have a result of a DWI manslaughter charge, and there are several other charges. Obviously, the regular DWI charge and some other charges, and I mean, they've thrown the book at her this time. This isn't. I don't think this is going to be one of those you skate out of by saying, I want to go to rehab. I don't see it. And the issue that really bothers me, I guess, the most is that there was some host of a show, wrestling show, don't remember his name, that I guess had said some things. He said that the car was her boyfriend's and that it was registered to her boyfriend. And she actually wrote him and said, you don't have any idea what you're talking about. It's my car. It's not registered. It was not registered to my boyfriend. You're spreading false information, this, that, and the other thing. Here is my advice. She's not going to take it, but here's my advice. Someone died as a result of a car accident. Whether you feel you caused it or you didn't, maybe it's time that you just stop trying so hard to get mad about everything that's said about you and think about somebody else for a minute. That's a very, very, very hard thing to do for people who are self-absorbed. But at the end of the day, had I been in a car accident that killed someone, whether it was my fault, it wasn't my fault, and people were saying things, I'm going to just say, I'll tell my story when I tell my story. Right now, my thoughts are with the person that was killed. She seems to just want to make this all about her. And this is why I can't. I've had sympathy for her every single other time. I can't this time, Mike. It's just too much. That's too many chances. And her behavior just doesn't even indicate that she's really all that, upset about it.
Right. And that's the thing, Mark, is think about this. I mean, you said Paul Heyman, when she first showed up in ECW, Paul Heyman didn't know exactly what he had when she first showed up. You know, she had a meteoric rise, and then to become what she became, she had the world by the balls. You know, she really did. And you look at her now, and here's the deal. We're talking about possible 30 years, right? 30 years, maybe more. Okay, she's gonna turn 50 this year on Pearl Harbor Day. So 30 years would be what, 75, 80 years old by the time she would get out, if she gets out.
Yes.
You know, so that's a good chunk of lifetime. That's a good chunk of her life spent behind bars. You know. And if you look at her today, she doesn't look anything like she looked back then, not even close.
No, you know, you live by the sword, and sometimes you die by the sword. And every single wrestler I've ever talked to or ever heard be talked to about Tammy Sitch hasn't had a ton of good things to say. Other than she was talented in what she did, and she was certainly a draw, but when it came to the person, a lot of people said, yeah, not someone you'd want to hang with. And I'll tell you the truth, these are wrestlers, a lot of them who, you know, they're not exactly angels. So when you're saying, yeah, that's trouble, that's saying a lot. It's a real shame. It's a real shame. because this is someone who could have parlayed her incredible popularity into television roles, movie roles, commercials, whatever she wanted to do. And she chose a different lifestyle, and it caught up to her. But catching up to you is one thing. But it's probably, unless evidence comes out to the contrary, it's probably cost the man his life, and that's not fair. In the chat room, Derek is saying, you know, how many chances? Well, see, that's the thing. You're not going to get that many chances. I'm not going to get that many chances. She's going to get that many chances because she has a certain amount of fame. And if she is, with the certain amount of fame she achieved, which was incredibly high at one point, but almost non-existent the last 10, 15 years or more, what do you think celebrities who are currently extremely popular are getting? See what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, we could make the argument that if they were stricter with her, there might be a man alive today. I don't know. At what point, though, can you, the problem is this. You've got an even bigger ball of wax to deal with here because her boyfriend is going to be asked, did you give her the keys to the car? Because if you did, you know she didn't have a license. And that is illegal, which makes you an accessory. There's going to be an awful lot of stuff coming out here, folks. This is not going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty. Anyway, in addition to being Mother's Day, it's also the birthday of one of our people here on the panel, Todd. Todd, happy birthday. What do you think about the situation with Sonny?
Well, first of all, I just want to say thanks for listening to me. Happy birthday, Mark. On the other hand, in a serious note, like you said with Sonny, they gave her chance after chance after chance. We forgave her so many times. This time, I don't really forgive her for this one, for the recent actions she did.
I don't think you can, because it's resulted in a death. Now, she's going to say it doesn't. And again, if there's evidence to that, let me see it. If it turns out this guy had a heart attack behind the wheel and hit her, she's still driving drunk. She still might have been able to avoid the accident if she was sober. But it does change things. But this is what she's saying, but here's the deal. The police have investigated. If the police investigated and the district attorney or the prosecutor has decided that he wants to prosecute her on DWI manslaughter, my thought is they've already crossed that avenue and said, no, that's not what happened. So this is going to be interesting, to say the least, to see where, if at all, her celebrity helps her at all here. I don't think it's going to this time. There's a line you don't cross. Now, she's speeding down Santa Monica Boulevard, and she's Sonny in the WWE. And a cop pulls her over, and she says, you know who I am? I'm Sonny from the WWE. And oh, my God, yeah, I know who you are. And next thing you know, they're taking pictures together, and he's saying, just slow down, okay? That, you know, that happens. Not now. So we'll see. Also, we want to talk a little bit about the fact that the Go Home Show SmackDown's ratings were not good. They were not good. This is not a good sign for the WWE. Not a good sign at all. And Fox knows it, because Fox is now saying, hold the phone on these title unifications and things, because there are certain athletes that when you sign this contract with us, we were guaranteed to have exclusive rights to. I'm guessing one of them is Roman Reigns, and they don't want him on Raw. This is a whole big ball of wax now. I knew this was going to happen. When you have television networks running your show, it's a problem. Now, if you told Fox they're going to have exclusive WWE superstars and they're not going to be showing up on Raw, and then they start showing up on Raw, Fox has every right to void your contract. You voided it, technically. So this is a big deal for the WWE. And apparently, Roman Reigns, whether he's trolling people or he's not trolling people, in New Jersey recently, at a house show, I guess it was, said, basically, I don't even know if I'm coming back to New Jersey because I'm starting a new chapter in my life. So I wanted to say thanks to New Jersey or whatever. What's that mean? I know that the Roman Reigns thinks he's going to go out to Hollywood and be The Rock. Here's the deal. You're the second guy in the water. The Rock made it because he was one of the first guys in the water. Hogan had already stopped making movies, and John Cena is still good at it, I know, and everything. But basically, The Rock was the first of that look, you know, a big, tall, muscular guy doing the hero role in movies. I don't know if you can do that. I don't know. I mean, you'll have his help, but I don't know. Now, there's going to be people who will sign him up to do movies because he's got a built-in audience. And if he does, he'd be an idiot if he didn't say, a few months before I leave, I want to turn face and, you know, capitalize on it. But for Roman Reigns to say that indicates to me, Mike, that he doesn't think he's going to be in WWE very much longer. His contract will be coming up relatively soon, within a year or two, I think. And if this is it, the WWE better scramble, because they've got next to nobody who's going to fill those shoes at this point.
That's right. Unless they're going to split those titles up, and eventually, you know, we know that part of the deal with probably with Cody is that he's going to hold that WWE title, or maybe the Unified title, but possibly the WWE title. And this would be a good way to have him hold that title is to split it up, you know? I mean,
yes.
They didn't promise Cody on SmackDown. Cody just signed, so they didn't promise him on SmackDown. So he could be on Raw with just the one at a time. Now, like you said, who's going to hold the other title? That's the problem.
Yeah, and, you know, there's another problem, too, and that is, and I know it probably makes AEW fans mad, maybe even makes WWE fans mad, but Cody's not the guy. He's not the guy. He's not what's the right word, I guess? He's just not that likable. He's a nice guy. Outside the ring, at least any interaction I've ever had with him, and anyone who's ever had interaction with him that I know, has said the same thing. Very pleasant guy, nice to talk to, really cares, seems to really care, and cares about fans. He's not the guy. Cody Rhodes, being the head of your organization, representing you as your champion, is not the guy. If he was that guy, he'd have been the AEW champ for a while. He's not. So that's a problem. If Roman Reigns leaves, you got a problem. Another order of business is the AEW, apparently, with their Forbidden Door pay-per-view, said they were sold out, but then more tickets were released or whatever. Here's what happens with that, folks. You're kind of being snowballed. Promoters will sometimes buy up their own tickets and then release them later, sometimes at a higher price. In other words, you may say, well, the tickets are going for a few hundred dollars front rows or the first couple of rows or whatever, and you snatch them all up. And then later on, when it gets a little closer to the event, they're releasing more money. Happens a lot. Sorry to tell you, but it happens a lot. And I highly suspect it happened this time. Next thing I want to talk about, though, folks, is the thing on SmackDown that made my head explode. Lacey Evans makes her, I guess, debut by coming out to the crowd. She doesn't wrestle. She doesn't even get in the ring. She just kind of walks up the rampway a little bit. But the announcer, after she clearly gives this heartfelt soliloquy about how she found her, one of her relatives tried to commit suicide, and they were saying, I'm sorry, while she was trying to keep them alive. And she decided she has to do things for her, and you know, she can't let every little thing in life get her down. The very next thing is to have the ring announcer say, Lacey Evans has requested that you show her the proper respect and applaud. She's obviously going to be a heel. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and you make of it what you will. It takes a ton, for me to say I'm offended. I'm the guy who says you shouldn't be offended. Wrestling is, it's ridiculous. If you want to do gimmicks where people are hitting women or they're doing this or they're doing that, it's all a gimmick. It's all a movie. I don't care. I'm not offended. But if you have forced a woman to use her real life traumas to create a character where her real life traumas are introduced to the entire world, and then she says, so that's how I've learned not to care about anybody but myself, and that's the way it is, and it's going to be a heel, I'm offended by that, because I don't believe Lacey Evans would want to do that. And now I believe it was an all or, if this is the case, then I believe they told her this is what you're going to do or it's nothing. If I had a relative who committed suicide or attempted to commit suicide and they said, we're going to drag this into a wrestling angle, but it's going to be, you're going to tell people, look, I had people in my life try to commit suicide. I've had this and that happen to me. I've had a very difficult life and it's been a struggle for me. But what I want to tell you people is, no matter how hard your life is right now, you can overcome it because, look, I'm a WWE superstar now. That doesn't erase every bad thing that's ever happened to me in my life, but it does show you that you can overcome them. Then I'm okay with it. But if you say, I'm going to use your real-life relative's suicide attempt to make it look as though you no longer care about anybody and you're going to be a heel, I'm telling them, no, you're not. Because that belittles what really happened. You're not going to take my abuse, my real abuse, or the real horrid incidents in my life and make it look as though it shaped me into being a cold person who cares about nobody but myself and a heel. I'm not doing it. There's a line you have to not cross. Mike, I wrote you and said, it looks like she's going to be a heel. There's no way that's an accident, Mike. You don't write the words, Lacey Evans has asked or requested that you show the proper respect by applauding her. That's clearly an indication that she's a heel.
And I'll say it again, it's a mistake. Another mistake in a long line of mistakes. This whole thing doesn't scream heel. You know, this whole thing screams face. It screams you want her to cheer for you. Right now on SmackDown, who's the biggest heel?
On SmackDown? You know? Well, Roman Reigns, I would guess. Oh, you mean women. Yeah, Charlotte. Yeah.
Charlotte. So, well, I mean, you might want to say, what's her name, Sonya Deville, but she's on both right now. But Charlotte.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's not going to – at right now, she Lacey Evans, if they wanted to make a heel, is not going to be the biggest heel on SmackDown. That's going to be Charlotte. So,
that's right.
I mean, you know, so why not just forego this whole thing and ride it out with having her told that story? We know she was a Marine. You know, we know she's served her country. Make her that overcoming hero type. Make her that. You can do that.
Mike, we had this conversation, and I told you, I warned you. I said, I hope they don't jump the shark. Here's what I think they did. I think they had full intentions of making her that character. And then they saw fan reaction saying, what is this constant pity party like we're supposed to feel sorry for? And they said, oh, it's having a reverse effect. Fans are not liking it, so we'll make her a heel. No, that was the way you wrote it. Every single week when she told the story, she should have said, I'm not telling this for anyone to feel sorry for me. Because I know there are many people out there listening who have it way worse than I ever did. I'm telling this so that you know that if you are having a bad time, A, you're not alone, and B, you can overcome it. Then people would not have thought it was a pity party. But what they did was they didn't do that. She was always just on TV saying, and then this happened to me, and I felt terrible. And I knew it was going to happen, Mike. I said, they're going to jump the shark. If they keep doing this, they're going to jump the shark, and fans are going to say, all right, I'm getting sick of hearing how bad Lacey Evans' life is. Gas is $5 a gallon. I've lost my job. I can barely afford to make ends meet. She's a WWE superstar. Give me a goddamn break. And that's what happened. So I think they changed their mind midstream, Mike, and it's the fault of their writers or the people who came up with this angle for not clearly underlining she wasn't trying to get your sympathy. She was trying to inspire you by saying, bad things happen to people, but you can overcome them.
Right, and I don't fault Lacey for this. I fault them for basically, I won't say it, but I got to, being lazy.
Yeah, well, this is why when you're a writer, you have to understand. Now, if they're going to tell me, no, this was always our plan, she was always going to be a heel, okay, well, then you should have made it 100 times worse. Either way, your writing sucks. Because if you came to me and said, hey, Marcus, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have Lacey Evans do this whole my life was so terrible thing, but it's going to be disingenuous. And she's going to be like, you all should feel sorry for me and be inspired by me. I'd say, okay, well, then you got to make it really over the top. You can't have real life things. You can't have her say my dad was abusive and left my mom and my relative tried to commit suicide. You can't do that. You're going to have to come up with things like, I was never the girl who was picked for valedictorian, and I was never this and that, and I felt cheated because I didn't win this contest or that thing. Then people would have clearly said, oh, God, give me a break. There's so many worse things in the world than this. Well, who's this woman think she is? That's how you make a heel. But if you totally give a real-life story like this, and I don't know how much of it's real. Maybe she's lying about all of it. But even if she's lying about all of it, there was obviously an attempt made to get people to say, wow, Lacey Evans is had a rough life. I don't see how you turn that into a heel. Instantaneously, nobody cares about her now again. Instantaneously, she's going to be this disingenuous heel who says, my life was so hard, you should all cheer for me because I overcame it. Who cares about what your life is? It's not going to work because just as you said, she's not going to be the top heel. Charlotte's the top heel. She's going to be the top heel for as long as she's there unless they turn her face, but that's not happening anytime soon. So right away, you've made Lacey Evans irrelevant. Had you done it the right way, either way, she would have been relevant. One way you would have said, God, she's worse than Charlotte, you know, with her boo hoo hoo me. You know, I don't care if you people are having trouble putting food on the table. I can't find a good hairdresser, you know, that kind of thing. My hairdresser totally screwed up my hair. That works as a disingenuous heel. Saying you held somebody who was saying, I'm sorry, while they attempted to commit suicide while you're trying to save their life. Whether it's a true story, it's a fake story, it doesn't work. It doesn't work for that character. So you've blown it either way. That's my point. Either way, it's bad writing. If she was always supposed to be a heel, it's bad writing. If she was always supposed to be a face and then you decide to flip her into being a heel because it wasn't working, it was because of bad writing. because the heel character should have been disingenuous, taking little things and comparing them to big, huge things in fans' lives that they had to overcome. But I had to overcome sharing a room with my sister until I was 7, you know, that kind of thing where you're like, big deal, honey. And if she was going the other way, then she should have ended every single segment with, I am not asking for your sympathy. There are people out there dealing with far more than I'll ever see you deal with. I'm asking you to listen to my words and understand that if I can overcome this, so can you. That works. I don't know how come they can't understand this. I fault the writers because, again, if you're in a writing session, it doesn't matter. If you're in a writing session and you say she's got to be a heel, then you do it one way. If you're in a writing session and you say she's supposed to be a face, you do it this way. This is not a swerve. This is character assassination. There's a difference. That's not a swerve. A swerve would have been her saying, I've had a really hard life, but I find it very hard to talk about. If I tell you some of the things, I'm afraid you're just going to say, I want your sympathy, and I don't, but I feel like I have to get it out of my system. Maybe next week I'll say more. I can't bring myself to tell you because I'm afraid you're all going to look at me in a very different way. And then she kept that up for a week or two, and it ended up being I had to share a room with my sister, and we had to hand each other's clothes down. You would have been like, what are you, some kind of a nut? That's not hardship. You don't know what hardship is, honey. That's how you make the heel. The other way, you tell your true story, and you tell people you can overcome this. That's the only two ways, Mike, and they blew both of these ways.
Yeah, they blew both of them. And look, they blew her in the first place because she should have been basically like Bayley, she should have been another John Cena, ex-military brat, you know, ex-military. She could have been a monster face from the start if they'd handled her right. They've blown her from the start, you know.
I agree with the Southern Belle thing. Now, Derek's saying, well, maybe they're still thinking she's going to be a face. No, because somebody wrote that. Somebody wrote, Lacey Evans has requested that you show her the proper respect by applauding. That's clearly a heel. Because if they didn't want it that way, you would have built it up that Lacey Evans says, I'm afraid to even face the crowd. You know, I've bared my soul to this crowd. And I don't know how anybody's going to take it. The last time I was here, they were booing me out of the building. You know, I just thought I'd tell my story and that's it. And then if the crowd spontaneously cheers, fine. And they would have. See, you have to psychologically understand the crowd. I psychologically understand the crowd, so I was worried. When they did the three things in a row of her saying how hard her life was, I had written Mike and Todd and said, this is not looking good to me. They're taking it too far. It's going to backfire. First time was fine. Second time was all right. That's enough. Third time should have been, I'm not here to tell you any more about my life. I'm here to tell you about yours. No matter what you're going through right now, you can overcome it. You can be exactly what you want to be. I wouldn't have given myself a chance to ever succeed to the degree I did. And here I am. And it's because I didn't give up. So don't you give up either. That's all you had to do. But when you kept it up and kept it up and kept it up, I said, this is not going to work. I just had a feeling it wasn't going to work. And now you're going to try to make her the heel, and no one is going to care. Because half of the audience is going to say, even if she's a heel, if that's what she really went through in her life, I'm not booing her because I understand. And then the other half is going to say, oh, well, I was going to boo her anyway. So it doesn't matter. You've not done the proper homage to that character. You haven't actually fleshed any character out. All you've done is muddied up the waters of what the hell she is. And that does not help anyone. That's awful. That's pathetic writing. It's not a swerve. I've heard people write to me and say, well, it's a swerve. It's not a swerve. It's just bad writing. Period. Todd, I couldn't believe it when I heard that. I said, what? And, but then she came out and she didn't act like a heel. She was slapping. I don't know what the hell is going on there, but I think they've blown this whole thing.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, she just may have returned to television this past week in person, not in video or anything. One minute she's a face, next minute she's going to be a heel. The WWE, we don't know whether they're coming or going. That's my, I sort of said on the group page there. And
yeah, Derek's saying, well, you know, she served her country. It's hard to boo somebody. Yeah, but you're booing the character. You know, that's the thing. They don't want you to boo the real person. They're trying to make a character. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. You're trying to create a character. And if you're saying the character we want to create is a disingenuous heel who thinks her life was very tough when it really wasn't all that bad, and she equates her problems, which were relatively minor, to fans' problems that could be very, very major, and that's why they hate her, I get it. My life's more important than yours. The fact that I broke a nail is more important than you crashed your car. I get that character. I do not get the character who has legitimate hardships being the heel. I don't get that. I'm sorry. Someone's going to have to explain to me how that flies, because I don't get it. And you'd think that the WWE learned from their own movie. Do you remember the movie Condemned with Vinnie Jones and Steve Austin? And at the end of the movie, when Steve Austin confronts Vinnie Jones, who's a horrible, evil, bad guy, Vinnie Jones says, well, I had a hard life. And he names all the horrible things that happened to him. And Steve Austin says to him, it sounds like you led one miserable life. And he said, yes, I did. And Austin says, well, then you'll be glad it's over, and shoots him. Meaning, I ain't falling for your bullshit. But now you're going to try to do the same thing with Lacey Evans reverse and say, well, she's inspirational because she really did overcome this, but you still should boo her because she thinks she's inspirational. Well, she is inspirational. Yeah, but she thinks she is. Yeah, but she is. Well, I know, but the character thinks she – it doesn't make sense. It's just bad writing. If you're inspirational and you really are, it shouldn't have to explain this. It's just bad writing. I feel so sorry for Lacey Evans, and here's why. She has never had a decent gimmick. She's never had something that she could just go out and say, do the best you can. She's not the best wrestler on the roster by far. But she's not the worst either. And if she had something decent, then maybe she could do something. Maybe she could be a valuable member. She's not going to do it this way. You can shove her down our throats all you want. It's not going to work. And it's a shame. Anyway, let's get on to Backlash, because I'm hoping that my prediction that it probably will exceed our expectations holds true. And here's what I base that on. Every single time that we've come on this show and said, this pay-per-view looks like crap. On paper, it's actually turned out to be pretty good. And every single time we've come on here and said, I can't wait, this is going to be fantastic, it's been a bummer. So I'm looking at this one going, this looks like crap. I'm sorry. I don't like the way this one's looking. And I say to myself, I wonder if they'll pull, you know, something good out of this nonsense. And I think they got a chance because they have the athletes to do it. That's the thing. I'm looking on the card, and while I'm saying these matches don't excite me, athletes in them actually do. Edge against AJ Styles could light up the entire show. We all know that. We all know how good Edge is. We all know how good AJ Styles is. I could light the whole show up. Hands down. We know how good Randy Orton is and how popular that RK-Bro is. And Drew McIntyre is a very, very good wrestler. We know how great the Usos are and Roman Reigns. They could light this thing up. Absolutely could. So there are matches on this card that you say, this could be a really, really, really good match. Even Ronda Rousey and Charlotte could be a good match for the following reasons. I know they're friends. And I know that Charlotte Flair cares very much about how this match goes. And I have seen a major improvement in Ronda Rousey and the way she acts and the way she fights since she has feuded with Charlotte the second time. Excuse me. And I think that's Charlotte taking her under her wing, and I think that's Ronda realizing Charlotte isn't going to be some egotistical wrestler who says, you don't belong in my business. She's actually a friend, and she's given me really good advice, and she's starting to take it. So that could be better than we think. That's not going to be a five-star match, but it could be better than we think it is. So really, there's just one or two matches on here that I'm like, eh, it's not going to be that great. I don't see Omos and Lashley being great. I don't see Madcap Moss and Corbin being great, but it could be good. It could be better than you think. So while on paper, Mike, this doesn't look like a thrilling, can't wait to see this match type thing, the athletes in it seem to indicate that they could have some really good matches if everything goes well.
Right. Look, I look at it like this, like you said, with Charlotte and Ronda Rousey. They're friends. Charlotte, Ronda has gotten better with her face, a little bit better with her facial expressions and her body language, you know. And so, and we know how good Charlotte can be. And those are some pretty damn, those two women are some pretty damn good athletes, you know. And just on the athletic side of that match, it's going to be a very good match, you know. Now, you know, performance-wise, I don't know, but athletic-wise, yeah, that's going to be a very good match. I'm gonna go ahead and say probably no worse than a 3.5-star match, if not a 4, because of those two women, you know. And like you said, even though it may not sound like a good match, I am stoked to see how that match between Corbin and Moss is. Just to see how Moss performs, because, look, we praised Moss before about his performance in different matches, and think about this, you know. We know what happened with him and Drew McIntyre when Drew basically put him on his head, put Moss on his head, right? We know that, and he came out
right,
looking good, and he came out. He's gonna make Corbin look extremely good. Yeah, Corbin's probably gonna win the match, all right. But he's gonna make him look extremely good. And look, it's not I don't think it's who wins or loses that match with AJ and what's his name. I think it's who shows up.
Right,
you know,
who's next?
We know Finn Balor's already with AJ Styles. Who's going to be the next guy? And we know that who's going to be the next guy that he brings, that Edge brings in. And probably we're going to see that tonight.
I would think so. Yeah, we'll be getting to that in a second. But the thing about Charlotte and Ronda is, if you've noticed, Ronda Rousey was all about, I am going to use my UFC moves in WWE, and that's what I'm going to do. And if it kind of fell flat. Now I'm seeing Ronda brawling, where she's literally just like, nah, I'm just beating your ass. Yes, I'll eventually use those, but right now it's just kick, punch, beat the hell out of you. And she's better off doing that, because she actually looks better when she's doing that than when she's doing the judo flips and the other crapola. So this could be an all-out brawl, and if it is, it's better. It's better for Ronda. It's not necessarily better for Charlotte, but it's better for Ronda. So we'll see how that goes. But let's start with Madcap Moss and Baron Corbin, and we'll go straight up the card. I will say this about Baron Corbin. I know a lot of people who think, oh, he's very middle-of-the-road, plain. I don't necessarily hate him, but I don't necessarily like him. You know, his character's not bad enough to be the heel that we all can't wait to see beat, but he's also not good enough to be anybody we care one way or the other about. I disagree. I think Baron Corbin has played every single character you've given him as well as he could. Now, did some of those characters suck? Yeah. Yeah. But he still did the best he could with it, and he still made them halfway decent. Almost like, you know, Damian Sandow used to do. You've given him some really weird stuff. Because here's a newsflash. This Happy Corbin character is terrible in one respect. It doesn't make any sense. You couldn't possibly win enough money in a casino in one night to be a multimillionaire for the rest of your life. It's not possible. No casino pays that much out. So one night I hit it big. Okay, so one night you hit it big and you won $1 million. $1 million is not going to last you the rest of your life. And he instantly has a Ferrari and he instantly has a brand new house. And guess what? There goes your $1 million. So the character itself doesn't make any sense. He's done the best he possibly can with this character. And the one thing that I will say about him is that he's willing to do pretty much anything. Because when we saw on SmackDown Happy Corbin come down, he was told, you have to sell Happy Corbin. You have to sell that his jokes are actually getting to you. Now, I know some wrestlers who would have said, if you think I'm going to walk out of that ring because he insulted me with jokes, like I'm downtrodden and I'm, oh, he got me, I'm burned. I'm not going to do that. Make my character look like an idiot. Corbin not only did it, he did it well. And the indication is Happy Corbin was happy, but he's fragile. And that happiness can very easily turn to being unhappy in a heartbeat if everyone around him isn't always constantly picking him up. And he's now lost the guy who's always constantly picking him up. That's a much deeper point than I think most fans realize. So when Corbin leaves that ring, I'm saying to myself, kind of acting out this psychological thing where he pretends to be happy, but when he loses the guy who was constantly picking him up and keeping him smiling, he's not happy. He's starting to fall back into that. I'll be very interested to see where this leads. If Happy Corbin loses tonight, unless it's some ridiculous thing where it's very obvious Baron Corbin or Happy Corbin. If Madcap Moss loses tonight and it's something very obvious where, you know, Corbin cheats completely or the referee doesn't see a foot on the ropes or something that leads to a rematch. If it's a conclusive, I just pinned them flat out. Madcap Moss's career, a mid-carder. And that's it. That's all he's going to be. Interesting mid-carder. But, man, Baron Corbin's job has always been to put somebody else over, put the guys on the way up over. He's done it and done it and done it and done it. I think he's going to do it again. I think Happy Corbin wins this. Madcap Moss wins this one because I think that's what Happy Corbin's job is, Mike.
And that's the thing. I mean, look, we've said that other than Roman Reigns at one point, Happy Corbin was – probably, if not for Roman Reigns, he'd have been the top heel if not for Roman Reigns. He's probably, at one point, one of the top five heels in the WWE. And he was playing. Nobody cheered him. That's how good he was. Nobody, no matter what he said, no matter what he did, nobody cheered him. And that's what you want out of a heel, right? And then, of course, when Madcap Moss came along and he came start to doing that Happy Corbin Mack had Moss deal, and well, I mean, we talked about what it looked like, and he was laughing at the bad jokes and all that stuff. That's another way he put Madcap Moss over, by laughing at those jokes, even though they were horrible jokes, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think he's done an excellent job. As a matter of fact, I think Baron Corbin in the last couple of years has been a very valuable player for the WWE. He has helped promote a lot of people. He really has. Think about it. Remember how long ago was it he had his blood feud with Roman Reigns before Reigns became the really, really top guy as a heel? But he still helped get that over. And he's done it countless times. Corbin is very good at that. That's kind of what his job is right now, I think. And he's doing his job, in my opinion, excellently. So I think Happy Corbin loses tonight, however, Todd. What's your thought?
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I'm going to go wee on this one. Madcap Moss win the Happy Corbin. And like you said, with Corbin, right now he's just there to put guys over, technically.
It'll be interesting to see if Madcap Moss can get over and stay over using this exact same gimmick. It's not going to be easy. I don't think it's going to be that easy. Because the jokes are still, for the most part, not good. And he still laughs at his own jokes. You're going to have to modify the character slightly. He's still got to be that same guy. And he's still got to tell those one-liners. But I think those one-liners got to turn into really, really good digs. Really good digs. Where people are like, oh, shit. You know, you ever see those insult contests where somebody's just like, oh, man. You just cut them off at the knees. That's what it's got to be. It's got to turn from those slapstick yucks to really cutting somebody right off at the knees with a joke. He's trying a little bit, but they're staying really into the mild range with it. You know, when he said you look like you're auditioning for a Pitbull cover band, that's funny, but it's not the dig you want. You want something a lot more hurtful than that. You know what I mean? So they're going to have to modify that a little bit. But, yeah, I do think Madcap Moss wins here. I can't see any reason to let Baron Corbin win or Happy Corbin win. I don't know what good it would do. You're obviously promoting Moss, so I'll go with that one. Let's go to Bobby Lashley versus Omos. This one, I'm torn, and I'll tell you why I'm torn. The WWE has said Bobby Lashley is our number one face, and he's already beaten Omos once. Is he going to go 50-50 with Omos? I don't know. Does your number one face go 50-50? Not often. At the same token, if Omos loses again, it makes MVP look like an idiot for ditching Lashley to go with Omos, who can't win. It makes Omos look like, even though I'm bigger and arguably stronger, I suck because I can't overpower Bobby Lashley or out-wrestle him or anything. So I don't know how dangerous that makes Omos look. And I don't know what would be next for Omos. Okay, I couldn't beat Bobby Lashley, but I bet I can beat Drew Gulick. Okay, well, that's, you know. So I don't know. In my mind, I think Omos has to win. Maybe with MVP's interference or something to set up possibly a third match, or at least if they go 50-50, you say, well, it was 50-50, but Bobby didn't really lose, but MVP can still hang his hat on it and say, hey, a win's a win's, a loss a loss. I'm going to go with Omos because I think without that win tonight, Mike, I don't know where Omos goes from here at all.
You know what? I agree with you, but it's not going to be MVP that interferes in this match. It's, in my mind, it's likely going to be either Cedric Alexander or Shelton Benjamin, and more likely it's going to be Cedric Alexander because he's lost a couple times to Bobby Lashley, and you don't want the last thing, you don't want him to lose several times to Bobby Lashley without Bobby Lashley kind of, without him kind of getting revenge on him, and the revenge would be Bobby Lashley, you know, grabbing the ankle and holding his leg down or doing something to Bobby Lashley to cause him to win, to lose the match, and therefore making MVP rethink him not putting him in the group with him and
Yeah, something's got to happen. Bobby Lashley has to lose this match, but he doesn't have to lose it clean. And as a matter of fact, I don't think he should lose it clean. You clearly said you want Bobby Lashley to be one of your top faces. Top faces don't lose clean very often. So he's got to lose, but he's got to lose due to some interference or some ridiculousness from MVP or maybe Cedric Alexander or Shelton Benjamin or both. I don't know. Something's got to happen. I think that's what's going to happen, though, Todd. I can't see Bobby Lashley winning this because I think if he does, that's kind of it for Omos.
I think you're absolutely right there, like you said. Like you said, between Omos and and Lashley here, Lashley beat Omos at WrestleMania. That's one zip Lashley. Now we need Omos to win. I'm going with Omos, too, to tie this little feud up one match a piece.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, MVP can use the excuse, oh, well, almost may have lost to Bobby Lashley once, but he didn't have me. I'm the difference. Okay, when people start coming into my managerial pool, they don't lose. Bobby Lashley, above all, should know that. That would work. And then it kind of erases that loss, and you're like, yeah, well, that is true. So I think that's where that's probably going to go. All right, let's go to Edge versus AJ Styles with Damian Priest banned from ringside. My thought on this is twofold. First, I don't think Damian Priest is going to listen to being banned from ringside, and I think that's going to probably bring Finn Balor out. They'll probably end up brawling. While that's happening, I think we're going to see a third member of Judgment Day. I'm being told it's Tommaso Ciampa. It makes no sense because Tommaso Ciampa is feuding with Ali, and if they add Ali, as God is my witness, if they add Ali to this group of AJ Styles and Finn Balor, I am going to literally scream out loud because you know what the fans teasing them saying, it's almost Bullet Club, it's almost Bullet Club. Ali has nothing to do with Bullet Club. Nothing. If anything, it should be Nakamura. I'd much rather have it be Anderson and Gallows if you could possibly swing it, but I don't think they can because they're still under. I don't know if their contract's up or I don't know, but close it is. It's very close to being up. But either way, it's got to be someone that keeps this going that it could be a Bullet Club-type group reunion. If you add Ali to this mix, you have just spit directly into the fans' face and said, ah, you thought you were getting some kind of Bullet Club thing, right? Wrong. And I ain't going to be happy about that. Finn Balor's fine. He's going to definitely counteract Damian Priest. He's not going to listen. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. Damian Priest is going to find his way somehow, and Finn Balor's going to be there. But that third member is probably coming tonight. I don't know who it is. I have no idea. I don't even think Ciampa fits all that well. But I guess he could. But if it's Ciampa, Mike, then we almost know for sure that Ali is going to somehow worm his way into this group, and that's not good.
That ain't good. And like you said, I hope it's not Ciampa because, look, we know the contracts aren't up yet or are up, but they still got Gallows and Anderson still got to do negotiations with the WWE unless the contracts are already up and they've already done them and they've already signed and we just don't know about it. They just show up tonight, right? Whereas you already got a guy under contract, right? You already got He's doing nothing. You got nothing for him. And because the guy that he was teaming him with got hurt, so you got nothing for him. And it would make all sense in the world for, okay, let's just say it is Ciampa, you know. Not Ali. It would make all the sense in the world for it to be Nakamura, that third member. All the sense in the world.
I agree. Here's the thing, though. The beauty of this is he doesn't have to show up tonight. In other words, no matter who the third member of Judgment Day is, they could just beat the hell out of AJ Styles. He doesn't need to be rescued. I mean, you could just say, okay, well, Edge wins again as far as, you know, getting the last. Maybe Edge loses, or maybe Edge wins because a third person interferes, but there might not be any retaliation from AJ until next time. You know, maybe Finn and AJ could get together and say, this is always going to be the case. We're always going to be outnumbered by one until we, you know, we got friends too. Then we could anticipate it. Maybe the WWE would be better off doing that than shooting their load tonight. Let Edge introduce his third member. Let's wait. I'd love to see Edge introduce his third and fourth member, like tag team. Get a tag team, because then we kind of know they're going to need a tag team. And then that would indicate they might be talking to Anderson and Gallows, which I'd love to see. I'd love to see that more than Nakamura. But I'll take Nakamura at least. The thing is, as long as you're going to stay true to the fans, you have now teased that Bullet Club members might be forming a new alliance. You can't put somebody in there who never was in the Bullet Club. You can't do it. I'm telling you, the fans will not like it. Having said that, the WWE is very, very high on AJ Styles, AJ's a complete professional. If they tell him we need you to lose because he's introducing a third member and they're going to interfere, AJ would be like, that's great, fine, fantastic, because they know it's going to lead to bigger and better things. But I think the WWE has this weird thing of, well, you lost last time, we can't have you lose again. So I think AJ's winning this. I really do, Mike. I don't even know if I agree with AJ winning this. I'd love to see the third member or the third and fourth member cost them again so that we have to keep anticipating revenge. But I think the WWE's idea is, oh, no, you lost last time, you win this time. So I will go with AJ Styles, even though I think it might not be the right move.
Right. And look, you've said it before. If they hadn't have fired Harlan and Dexter Lumis, right? I mean, think about it. Those two guys, even though Dexter Lumis was in a big deal with Indy Hartwell at the time, before he got fired, but those two guys would fit with Edge's group. And you introduce, you don't have to introduce them both tonight, you know, as part of the group. You introduce one or the other. Let's just say you introduce Dexter Lumis as the next guy to the group. Okay, then fine. Monday Night Raw, we see somewhere in backstage. Tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw, we see somewhere backstage, AJ and Finn talking, and they say, okay, they've got some more people coming. They've got some more people. We need somebody else. And all of a sudden, out from off camera walks Nakamura, you know?
Yeah, see, the thing about this is, I think that we got to decide, like, how many members do they want? The WWE is kind of like in this three-man group now where they like the Usos and Roman Reigns. It was the New Day was three. They seem to like that group of three. It's Sheamus and Ridge Holland and Butch is three. They kind of keep trying to keep it at three. So if all they want is three, then it's irrelevant for Anderson and Gallows to try to come over, and maybe you've already got it worked out that it's not the more. I suspect it's Ali. I can't stress enough that I'm going to be upset, but I suspect it's Ali. But either way, I do think that AJ Styles probably pulls this out only because he lost the last one to the same person. Again, I wouldn't go with that booking. if you're going to introduce a third person tonight, I'd go with that booking if you're not introducing a third person tonight. If you're introducing a third person tonight, AJ's got to lose again. Because then you could literally understand AJ's anger saying, well, this is baloney. I've had him beat twice. Twice there's been interference. I thought we had it handled, you know, with Finn, but he had to take care of Damian Priest coming down, and while he's taking care of that, now there's a third one? Well, fine. I got a third friend, too. Then we can go with the speculation of who that's going to be. And if you want to go with the three-man groups, I beg you, consider Nakamura over Ali. I don't care if you shoot Ali to the moon and you totally start pushing him as an indestructible, you know, phenom. Don't put him in this group because he doesn't belong in this group. So please don't do that. Todd, who do you think is winning this one? I mean, it could go either way.
Well, you're absolutely right, though, like you said. Like you said about this whole thing with Edge and with Priest and AJ Styles and Finn. You know, like you said, I got that gut feeling. I got that gut feeling. Also, it's got to be. I guess I don't want to go with Styles, but it's got to go that way. I have to go with him, you know. And like you said, somebody's debuting tonight, and Edge is stable.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying even if nothing happens, it would make more sense for AJ to lose than it would for AJ to win. Well, that depends. It wouldn't make more sense for AJ to lose if he just loses clean. Because then you'd say, okay, well, he's not as good as Edge. He's lost twice. And what's he going to need? 2-on-1 to beat Edge? So you don't want that. Because then that makes your face look weak. What you would want, presumably, is for Damian Priest to distract him, come down. Finn Balor comes down. They're fighting. If you're not going to introduce a third member, Finn Balor comes down. Damian Priest wasn't supposed to be there. Start fighting. AJ's distracted and loses. But I'm not even sure I like that, because then you could say, well, what was the stipulation for then if he's not instantly disqualified? How come he's not disqualified if Damian Priest comes down? So I'm not even sure I like that scenario. The scenario I think I like best is a third member is introduced and we see no retaliation from AJ's team that night, but we know that one is coming, Mike.
Yeah, we know more is coming. And look, that's not – let's just say for the sake of argument, we know – and I know you say they like this three-man group thing, but let's just say for the sake of argument that they change their mind and they say, okay, we're going to add more people to Edge's group. Okay, fine. You add more people to Edge's group, what happens then? And then they come back and we find out at a later date, you add Nakamura, fine. The next time they add somebody, they add maybe a tag team. Then we find out at a later date that they've been negotiating with Anderson and Gallows, and we know that AJ wants them back. You know, we know
right.
That AJ Styles wants them back, you know, and we find out that they been negotiating with them, and they've signed them. It makes sense, right?
Well, look, here's the deal. If they are negotiating with Anderson and Gallows, and the idea is that we are going to bring them back, then yes. Then what you do is you have Edge not introduce one person tonight, introduce a tag team. Because then every single fan of the Bullet Club is going to say, Anderson and Gallows is coming. I can't wait. And that's something you anticipate, right? So you've tipped off the fans. Edge has a tag team. I wonder if AJ can find a tag team. Wonder who AJ's tag team is going to be. You know what I mean? We all know, but it hasn't happened yet. That would be a big boost for WWE, a big boost. If it's one person, then it's not going to be Anderson and Gallows because they're not going to have five. You know what I mean? If they're going to only have three, it would probably be Nakamura or Ali. If they're going to have four, then it's probably Anderson and Gallows. But they're not going to have five. Five's too many. So they're not going to have Nakamura and then Anderson and Gallows. Not, that's not going to happen. So it'll be very interesting to see how they handle this and what their idea was. Certainly they knew this was coming. We knew it was coming. We said it's going to be Finn Balor. There's no question that Finn, that's what they got planned for Finn. That's why he went on the losing streak. That's why he started the feud with Damian Priest and won the belt for a short period of time. That whole thing was planned from the minute that Finn Balor lost the belt to Damian Priest. This whole thing was planned. This is how we start the Damian Priest-Finn Balor thing. That's why they didn't bring up the demon thing. That's yet to come. You know, I'll say, oh, well, why wasn't the rematch? Why didn't Finn Balor come out as the demon? Because it's coming. But it's coming in a bigger scenario. So now we'll see how they handle this. It should be very interesting. This is one of the more interesting things the WWE is doing, and something I do think that the fans are into. Let's see how they handle it and or if they drop the ball. Okay, Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins. Well, if I go by what I said, it would be Seth Rollins, right? Because Cody Rhodes won last time, but how can you have Cody already go 50-50? I think something different is coming for Seth Rollins. I think the Seth Rollins Joker character is done. I think they know it's done, and I think something else is coming. And this is the way they're going to end this character. They're going to say, okay, Cody Rhodes wins. Seth Rollins changes his whole persona or whatever, and we're going to get a different Seth Rollins. I truly think that's what's going to happen. Because this thing is starting to wear thin. Everybody knows it's starting to wear thin. Even Seth Rollins himself has to know it's starting to wear a little thin now. And there's no point in promoting this character if this character isn't going to be around. The person playing the character is going to be around, but that particular character isn't going to be. So I think they're going to put this Seth Rollins slash Joker character to bed tonight. I think Cody wins. And I think Seth Rollins comes up with a whole new persona, you know, in the next month or so. Maybe even a face turn. I don't know. Maybe even a face turn. He's been heel a long time. Been heel a long time. You want a real swerve? Turn Cody heel tonight and Seth face. That would shock the wrestling world. And I told you before, I just totally think Cody Rhodes should be a heel. I've said it a million times. Every time I see him, every time he takes the microphone, he says the right things. The words coming out of his mouth are face words, but his mannerism and the way he delivers them are totally heel. And I just think it would be shocking. And fans would be like, oh, shit. Well, I guess he didn't leave AEW because he didn't want to be a heel. I guess he wasn't against not wanting to be a heel. I think that would have the whole wrestling world talking. They're not going to do it, but it would be shocking. I'm going to go with Cody Rhodes again, Mike, because I think they got something different planned for Seth Rollins.
I'll go with Cody Rhodes as well, and here's something else to think about. I know they're going to end this thing with Seth Rollins, but here's something else to think about with Cody. Just recently, within the last, say, year and a half or so, whatever, 2 years, what was he in when he went to Japan?
That's true.
What did he do when he went to the Bullet Club, right?
Yep. I don't think he's considered like a real, you know, major member, but yes, he was in it. So, I mean, that's true. Again, you know, all the speculation, this is why this is one of their better angles. Because look at all the speculation we've done. It's got us all talking about what could be. And that's why if the WWE introduces Ali, I'm going to scream. Because look at all the publicity, look at all the talk in the wrestling universe about who's going to be the next member. Is it going to be a Bullet Club member? Is it going to be Anderson and Gallows? Is it going to be Shinsuke? Are they going to bring somebody in that we don't know about that was a Bullet Club member? And if you just say, no, we're throwing all that out. This is a whole new group, and Ali's in it, and maybe we'll throw Dolph Ziggler in later or something. I'm going to scream because you're idiots, and you blew something that could be great. You got something here. The story is not Judgment Day. Take my word for it. People like Edge, and they respect Edge. Damian Priest, people are like, hey, he's okay, whatever. But everyone's eyes are on what's AJ and Finn going to do. Are we getting some kind of semblance of the Bullet Club? That's what people are focused on. Not Judgment Day, Bullet Club. So we'll see. I hope they don't blow it. Anyway, Seth or Cody Rhodes? Todd, what do you think?
I got to go with Seth Rollins. I mean Cody Rhodes again. Like you said, he beat Seth when he first came back. We're going to probably see that again. I'm going to go with Cody Rhodes here, the American Nightmare.
Yeah, because, like, once again, what happens if Seth Rollins wins? So you're 50-50 with Cody and you're 50-50 with Seth Rollins, and that achieves what? What good does that do either guy? Doesn't do either guy one damn bit of good unless you want a rubber match. And then even the third one doesn't do any good, because what does that mean? What means something is if Cody wins tonight and Seth Rollins, who looks like he's been rethinking his character anyway to a degree, you know, we've seen those segments backstage where he seems to be like in a different, zoned out and in deep thought. Something's happening. I think a different idea has occurred for Seth, and they're going to run with it. So I'm going to say Cody Rhodes wins. This could be a really good match. Could be a really good match. Let's go on to Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey. Is that going to be the main event? See, this is going to be very interesting, folks. Roman Reigns has, in his contract, he only does the opening match or the closing match. If he does the closing match and this is it, the main event is not for any belts. Boy, is that snubbing the woman's belt. So I don't think that's going to happen. So I think that Roman Reigns and the Usos versus Drew McIntyre and RK-Bro is going to be the first match. I'm pretty sure it's going to be the first match. So I think Charlotte and will probably close the show. You could live to regret that. I'm not going to lie. You could live to regret that one. I hope that match is better than we think, and I think it might be, but you might live to regret that. So let's instead go with the Bloodline, I guess, because I think Charlotte and Ronda will be the main event. Bloodline, Roman Reigns and the Usos versus Drew McIntyre and RK-Bro. We know where this is going. This is why it's not an anticipated match. Roman Reigns has nobody left to fight. He's got to fight Drew McIntyre, and if he wins tonight, certainly there's no reason to fight Drew McIntyre. You've won. So Drew McIntyre is going to pin the champion tonight. That's the way this is going to go. Drew McIntyre is going to get that moment where he gets the Claymore kick in, 1, 2, 3, proving I can beat the champion, and then Roman Reigns is going to say you can't do it one-on-one, and the match is going to get booked. And their feud's already begun. They're fighting all over the place in house shows. Roman's winning every night, but they're fighting all over the place in house shows. You know why they're doing that? Because they're warming up for a pay-per-view match. When the WWE always used to do this. When there was a pay-per-view match coming up, let's say it was, Razor Ramon versus IRS, right? Then what would happen is a month before that match was going to be one of the matches at a pay-per-view, they'd be all over house shows doing that match because they're getting used to fighting each other and the feel of, you know, making sure everything's right, and they're sort of practicing. It's almost practice. Then when they get to the pay-per-view or the premium live event, they've got it down. You know what I mean? They've totally, like, improved it. Every night they say, let's add this, let's take that out. They're literally practicing at house shows, and that's what Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns has been doing for the past month. So my assumption is that's what's going to be the next feud. The only way this feud can work is if Drew McIntyre pins the champion, meaning he did earn a title shot. So I think Drew McIntyre pins Roman Reigns tonight, Mike. What do you think?
I think so too. And frankly, if he's going to go away for any length of time, that's killing the Bloodline angle. You know, Roman Reigns, then it makes all the sense in the world to have this, you know, go down this way. You know, you do this at these house shows, and then he pins them, and then at the next pay-per-view, let's say, he wins the title. Then Roman Reigns can go away, you know, and do whatever he's going to do and come back. Now, is he actually going to come back? I don't know, but he can do that, you know. So, yeah, I'm going to go with your scenario, and RK-Bro and McIntyre win.
Yeah, now Derek's saying no way Roman takes his pinfall before, you know, the next WrestleMania when he's fighting probably The Rock. Yeah, well, you would think, but to be honest, this doesn't mean anything. It's a non-title match, and he can blame it on, well, you know, other things were happening in the ring with the Usos. I was trying to do this. Drew, I didn't even think Drew was the legal man. Tag team wrestling is not the same as individual wrestling. He can't beat me one-on-one. So it's the victory doesn't mean anything. Roman Reigns is still undefeated one-on-one. So that loss won't mean anything. If Drew McIntyre pins one of the Usos, it means absolutely nothing. You know, the rub would be, so what? You beat one of the Usos. You didn't beat me, and you can't beat me, and there ain't no reason for you to have a title shot because you haven't proven you could beat me. If Drew McIntyre pins him, now Drew McIntyre has been losing every single night to Roman Reigns. So Roman Reigns has no problem dropping to Drew McIntyre tonight to set up the, oh, Drew McIntyre could potentially beat Roman Reigns. He did it at the Premium Live event. That it almost has to be that way for this feud to work. Otherwise, people are going to say, Drew McIntyre is never going to beat Roman Reigns, so who cares? And you don't want that. You want crowd anticipation of he could because he did it at the event, you know. So I think that the WWE is probably okay with him taking this pinfall. I would be shocked if anything else occurs. Now, I guess you could go with the weird booking of Randy Orton, RKO's, Roman Reigns, but gets, you know, and when Reigns gets up, he gets a Claymore kick. And in that way, you say, oh, well, you know, come on, it took the friggin' RKO and the Claymore kick to do it. You could do that. Or you could have Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns spill outside the ring and fight all over the arena and just have one of RK-Bro pin one of the Usos. You could do that, too. But the problem with that is it's not as anticipatory as if you literally say Roman Reigns just earned himself. I mean, Drew McIntyre just earned himself a title shot. You could go with the other one and say, well, now Roman wants to defend the belt against Drew because they fought all over the arena. You could do that one, but that's been done a million times. The right way to do this, if the WWE is smart, is Roman Reigns loses to that bro kick, that Claymore kick, so that they can now say Drew McIntyre pinned the champion. Yes, it was in a six-man tag team match. He still pinned him. And Roman Reigns has been unpinned in how long? So Drew McIntyre's earned a title shot. And that way Roman Reigns can get on TV and do his usual shtick about, yeah, he's going to take that victory when very clearly it was a six-man tag match and this happened to me and that happened to me and all kinds of things were going on. One-on-one, that doesn't happen. It would seem logical. That would seem logical. So I'm going to go with that. Todd, what's your thoughts? Who wins this six-man tag?
I got to go with you on this one. I got to go with Drew McIntyre and RK-Bro over the Bloodline.
Yeah, now Derek's saying, well, that should be the main event then. If Roman Reigns takes the pin, because that's going to be that oh-my-God moment. I agree with that. The last thing I want to see on this pay-per-view is the announcer saying Roman Reigns was just pinned for the first time in how long? A couple of years? By this man, Drew McIntyre, he's earned himself a title shot. And, you know, have the Usos hauling Roman Reigns away, Reigns holding his jaw, looking like, what the hell just happened? Drew McIntyre holding his hand up, saying, I'm coming for your belt. That's the way you want to end the pay-per-view. However, politically correctness is going to get in the way of this. And people are going to say, how come the only title match of the night wasn't the main event? And I know why, because it was women. That's what they're going to say. I promise you, Charlotte and Ronda is not the main event. The internet is going to explode with WWE's misogynistic. That wasn't even for a title, and they put it as the main event. But naturally, the one that's for the title because it's the woman's title, that's what you're going to hear. That's exactly what you're going to hear. I will say this. I think Derek's right about one thing. If this is the first match of the night, they have another plan. I don't think Roman will get pinned if it's the first match of the night, because that would be too shocking, and that would be too big of an event to happen. The thing you hear tonight is, we're going to start off with a six-man match, then he's probably not getting pinned. They've got another way to work this out for some reason. They're going to take the easy way out and have Drew and Roman battle all over the place while Randy Orton RKO is one of the Usos for the win, which is going to be boring and dumb. And I hope they don't do that. But if that match starts it out, see, this is the one time where I think Roman Reigns should say, I'll do next to last, if that's what it's going to take. Because I don't want to push Charlotte and Ronda out of the main spot, but you're right, this ending isn't going to work for the first match, so I'm willing to do it. Well, it'll be very interesting to see if Charlotte Flair and Ronda headline this pay-per-view. Very, very interesting. Anyway, let's go to their match. Ronda Rousey did not come back to be a punching bag, and she's already lost once, right? She's not losing tonight. That's why I don't think this should be the main event. We already know she's winning the belt. We already know it. You think she came back saying, I'll sign a contract, but I don't ever win the belt? That's not happening. That's not happening. This is her time. She's going to win. But we do have a good argument here, because if someone wants to call me up and say, well, how can you have Charlotte literally quit for the first time ever? That's not a big enough moment to end a pay-per-view in. Yeah, it is a big enough moment to end a pay-per-view in. You're right. If Charlotte says I quit, that's a big deal. Ronda Rousey holding up the belt, closing a pay-per-view is a big deal. And maybe that will be the only thing that saves Roman from not taking his pinfall. But if I were the promoter, he's taking the pinfall. Now, I might be convinced to have Randy Orton give him the RKO, have Jay or Jimmy Uso knock Randy Orton out of the ring when he tries to cover Roman Reigns, Reigns groggily recover and get that Claymore kick for the three count. That way, at least he's got something to hang his hat on, saying, well, it took a freaking RKO and the Claymore kick to get me. I might be tempted to do that. But either way, he's taking the pinfall. Because it's the only way Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns feud actually makes it look as though Drew McIntyre has a chance, even though he really doesn't. We all know he's not winning. So if we all know he's not winning, and he doesn't win, and he doesn't win tonight, wow. What's next for Drew McIntyre? I mean, he's been fighting Sami Zayn, and now you want to put him up against Roman Reigns, and you don't want to make him look like a world beater? You got to make Drew McIntyre look like a world beater tonight. You got to make Drew McIntyre look like, screw the Sami Zayn nonsense. This guy is dangerous, and that's the only way you can do it. Now, speaking of Sami Zayn could interfere in this match. Sami Zayn could potentially interfere in this match. And it might backfire. He might interfere and cost them the match. Because you know that they don't want Sami Zayn anywhere near him. You know they don't want Sami Zayn in the bloodline, but he keeps saying, oh, I'm going to, you know, I have so much respect for Roman. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It's probably going to backfire at some point. Because you can see Paul Heyman rolling his eyes and saying, oh, whatever. So something's going to happen. Could happen tonight, Mike. Be very interesting to see. Very interesting conclusion to this match.
You know, I just thought about something else, Marcus. You're talking about Randy Orton RKOing him. RKOing Reigns. What about this? What about Randy Orton RKOs him, instead of the Claymore, Drew drops him on his head with a Future Shock DDT again.
Yeah, could do it. I mean, Derek's bringing up it is Mother's Day, and Ronda Rousey's a mother, and you could get that old, I'm dedicating this match to my daughter. I see it happening. I see that happening. Charlotte's been talking about her daughter, right? Charlotte's been saying, hey, you're going to be crying like your daughter. I see it happening. But irregardless of where this match goes, I'm only telling you what I think the WWE will do. I think if the WWE starts out with a six-man match, Roman probably won't get pinned. But I'm telling you that if I were in charge, he would get pinned. Because the right move is to have Drew McIntyre look like a world beater and certainly a match for Roman Reigns. Because no matter what you say, they've been doing house shows for a month where Drew McIntyre has been losing every night. People attend those house shows. People put the results on the internet. So people are looking saying, Drew lost tonight, he lost tonight, he lost tonight, and he lost tonight. Why should I go watch a pay-per-view when he's lost seven times in a row? But if he wins tonight, at least you could say, well, he did win one. So I guess he can win. You know what I mean? So they've painted themselves in a little bit of a corner here. Drew's not winning that belt at any point in time against Roman Reigns. But he could get his consolation prize in the fact that you did pin the champion tonight, because it does make Drew look strong if he does. So that's why I say in my world, if I were booking it, Roman Reigns loses this match by pinfall to Drew McIntyre. What I think the WWE will do is totally different. If Roman Reigns and company start out the show, they won't let him get pinned. It's too big of a moment. Derek's right about that. They don't want to spoil that moment. Not in the opening match they won. In the end match, the main event, they might. Not in the opening match. Now, you could arguably put the women's match on first. It's a big moment. They won the belt. She dedicates it to her daughter. It's Mother's Day. Hooray, hurrah. That could happen. But if it does, I'm telling you, the internet's going to explode with, why was this match not the main event? It was for the title. So they're in a little bit of a quandary here, Mike. I mean, what do you do?
Yeah, and look, this wrestling, they want to do the politically correct thing to do, and that would be to put the women's match on last, but wrestling by its nature is politically incorrect. We've said it hundreds of times on this show. This is a politically incorrect business, and it has been for forever, I mean, look, I look at it like this, and that's the way I look at it. And the politically incorrect thing to do would be to take that – well, I don't want to say take the moment away from Charlotte and Ronda, because I think it's – I think that match, because of all the rest of the matches, I think that match between those two women, because they're friends and they know – and we know what's going to happen there. One's going to want to turn it into a wrestling match, and Ronda's going to want to turn it into a fight, And that's interesting to me to see which one ends up happening the most. But the politically incorrect thing would be to have Ronda and Charlotte start out the card.
Right, and we also have to understand that we could be wrong. Maybe Ronda's not winning the belt. Maybe something's going to happen in it. Both parties aren't going to win. I don't think there's a disqualification, or it has to be I quit, I thought. But maybe something's going to happen. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they play this, though. I do want to mention this. I know Tom is in the chat room, and I was informed that his mom had actually underwent surgery. Everything went well, and she's recovering here on Mother's Day, so we wanted to extend our best wishes to her, and obviously glad everything went well there. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do for the main event. If you back me into a corner and said, what would you do, Marcus? I don't know. I'm really torn, because I know the wrath of God is going to come down on the WWE if Charlotte and Ronda's not the main event. I know what's going to happen. But truthfully, how many people came to see Charlotte versus Ronda as opposed to how many people came to see the Usos and Roman against RK-Bro and Drew? And I would say 2-1, if not more than that, could be 3-1, would go for the six-man tag. So how is that not the main event? See, I don't think the title necessarily makes it the main event. Just because it's for the title doesn't necessarily make it the main event. The main event should be the one that everyone came to see. The best band isn't always the closing band. You know, the opening band is sometimes a great band, but hey, that's not who people came to see. So you kind of go with the one that sold the most tickets, if you know what I mean. But I don't think the WWE will. I'm almost guaranteeing you that if they don't make Ronda and Charlotte the main event on Mother's Day, it's going to not be good. So I do think that's the main event. So I don't know. I'm reconsidering whether I think the WWE won't let Roman get pinned if it's the opening match. I do think that the right thing to do is have Roman be pinned. Very interesting how they're going to have to work this. And this is why I say political correctness does not belong in wrestling, because it changes what should be. We shouldn't have to be discussing what will people's feelings be if the main event isn't a women's match on Mother's Day. Who cares? Why is this a thing? Why do we always have to say, what's the politically correct thing to do? Who cares? Care what order the matches go in. As long as I see all the matches. You know what I care about? I care when the WWE says we knew from the very beginning this wasn't going to be a title unification and sold tickets to the damn event saying it is going to be. That I care about. Because that's lying. That's bait and switch, and that's ripping your fans off. That I care about. I don't give one damn whether it's the first, second, third, fourth, or fifth match. I don't care. You advertised it. You gave it to me. I'm happy. So I think, Mike, this is why, you know, again, you can't have this politically correct mindset going into these things because it changes things.
That's right. And furthermore, here's what I think. I think you go to the two ladies, Ronda and Charlotte, and you say, look, ladies, we're not going to put you on the end of the card because, well, we think this is a bigger moment. Even though it's not for a title, it's a bigger moment. And we need that to end the match. But here's what we want you to do, ladies. We're going to put you at the top of the card. Go out there, and we're going to give you 15 minutes. Go out there and steal the show.
Well, let's put on the Kane promoter hat here, Mike, and let me tell you what I do. And it's sneaky and it's underhanded and it's devious, but hey, that's wrestling. I would have a fight break out between Ronda. I'd say the main event is Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair tonight. And I would have a fight break out about match number two where they can't keep them apart and have them say, you know what, you're going to the ring right now. We can't have this. You guys are fighting backstage. There's pandemonium. Settle it now. Or have Charlotte Flair say, I want her right now. I'm not waiting till the end of the damn show. Good. Then it makes it look like it's their choice. Then it makes it look like that's the way they're supposed to do. Thanks. That's the way I'd handle it, Tom, because I do think that the six-man tag match deserves to be the main event, even though it's not for the title.
Agreed, and I was actually just going to say that. I think that's what they were going to do. If I had to, you know, my spidey senses are telling me, by the way, that something's going to happen backstage, and they're going to make it the, you know, let's do it. Your match starts right now. You guys can't keep your, you know, keep apart until the end of the show. Your match is on right now, and that's the way they should do it.
It's sneaky. There's no question about it. But what can you say now? If you're the one of these politically correct people, he's, well, I know what they're going to say. Well, the WWE wrote it that way. Yeah, but you know what? According to the show, they wanted it. I'd keep it that way, Todd. Todd, what should be the main event of this show?
Like you said, wanted to have Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair causing too much chaos in the backstage area early to send them out. Be like, you're going to have your match right now. Get out there and do your match.
Could do it on the pre-show, not their match, but you could have the fight break out on the pre-show where they're saying, oh, well, it was a big fight already. We're still, 10 minutes away from start time, and there's pandemonium in the locker room. That would be kind of cool. I mean, they're going to have to do one or the other at the end of the day. So it'll be very interesting. Anyway, the only reason I'm thinking that this I can't say pay-per-view anymore, can I? The only reason that this premium live event could be better than we think, because, A, we got kind of low expectations. We sort of know the ending to most of these matches. We sort of got a pretty good feel of what's going to happen. And on paper, it's, but the athletes involved in these matches are really good. And they could, because of the lack of anticipation from the fans, they could be told to go ahead and cut loose. And there's only how many matches, like six? So you might see the WWE give them a lot of time. You might see these be 15, 20-minute matches. And you're not going to tell me that a 15, 20-minute match between Edge and AJ isn't going to be good. I think that's going to be really good. And I think the Usos and Roman Reigns, as well as Drew McIntyre and RK-Bro, if they're given 20 minutes, that could be really good. So you do have some potential here for some really good matches, even if they're kind of obvious and even if they're sort of, what's the right word for it? They're not anything you're really in question about who's going to win. I think most of these are pretty obvious. But we do have the potential, too, for a couple of stinkers, so we'll see what happens. I mean, is anybody super invested in Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss? The only reason I'm invested in it at all is because I want to see what they think of Moss. If Moss wins, they're going to push him a little bit. If Moss loses, that's it. I mean, that's it. He's reached his plateau, and he's going to be a mid-carder around like Baron Corbin, and that's what he's going to be. If he wins, we'll see. Maybe something else is going to happen. The two things I'm looking most forward to is I want to see who the third member of Edge's stable or third and fourth member of Edge's stable is going to be, because I think there's going to be one. Because that's going to tell me who potentially AJ and Finn are going to align with. So that's one thing I'm looking forward to. And the other thing I'm looking forward to is seeing how the WWE gets out of this dilemma of who goes last. Mike, what's your takeaway on this pay-per-view? What's the things you're most looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to what happens with the Charlotte Flair match and, Charlotte Flair Ronda Rousey deal, because really, have they even announced any type of pre-show match?
No.
Of course.
No.
If they have a pre-show match that they haven't announced, that it's whatever. Take your pick of whatever of whatever team, tag team, of whatever singles person. Take your pick. And we weren't expecting that match. That match is probably going to be a stellar match to what we're talking about with Charlotte, and they're going to be commentating on the match, and all of a sudden, oh, something's happening in the locker room, and we got to go back and see what's happening,
See, that's what I'm hoping. That's the way I'd handle it, is just exactly as you said. I would get a preliminary match out there, a pre-show match that, nobody really cares that much about. halfway through say we're being told there's a big problem in the dressing room, and then that's it. Charlotte Flair and Ronda are going at each other, and they're saying, I'm not waiting till the end of the show to deal with you. I want the match now, and then that's when you do it. That would be kind of cool. I think fans would be happy with that for the most part. At least it would add a little fuel to the fire, right? Now, I've been asked about the Sheamus and Ridge Holland and Butch thing and where it's going. I don't know. Because they had all this set up for the New Day, and then, of course, the bad thing happened to Big E, and there's three of them and two of the New Day. I don't know. New Day's going to have to literally find a third person if they're going to feud with them. It doesn't have to be a New Day member. They don't have to say we've added a new person to the New Day, because that almost looks like you kicked Big E out. You don't want that. But remember, they did add him temporarily, Kevin Owens at one time. So you could add somebody temporarily and just say this is our third member for now or something. I don't know who it would be. Somebody. But this week, they at least used Butch the right way. See, the idea that they're trying to get people about Butch is he doesn't care whether he wins or loses. He just tries to tear you apart. He's not even an athlete who's competing. He's not one of these guys that's like, I got to, you know, get wins under my belt to try to get a belt. He's not like that. He's just like, let me go, and I'm beating them up. And if they roll me up in a small package and pin me, I'm still trying to beat them up after they won. I get where you're trying to go with him, but you never let a heel lose like that if he's supposed to be tough. Because now we've already seen him pinned, it's no big deal. You've given the ending away before the beginning. But this week, him being under the ring and attacking and all that stuff, that was the right move. And I'm going to tell you this. He plays his character very good. So for all of the people who were saying, oh, this is dumb, he's calling himself Butch, and he's supposed to be this, that, or the other thing, he's playing this character very well. And he looks like he's having fun doing it. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, Mike, that they changed who he was. I just think maybe they're not using him as good as they should.
Right. And look, and we all want, I like the character. I like how they're having, I like that they haven't really kind of wrote him into the corner like they tend to do with some of their characters. But also, my question is this. Big E is up in the air right now. We don't know what's going to happen with him. And if they're planning on adding a new member, they're going to have to massage at some point. Now, like you said, it could be one of these things where they add a new member for a short period of time because they think Big E's going to come back, which I'm not sure about that right now. But the New Day does not work well with just two of them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's very obvious. Their strength is when they're together. Even if it's just two that's really fighting most of the time, their strength has always been all three of them. And it is definitely noticeable when one of them, any one of them, it doesn't matter which one, when any one of them is missing, it is noticeable. You're absolutely right. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with that. There's a lot of things I guess they could do with the situation, but I think they're going to have to – if you still want this anyway, maybe they're just going to let Ridge Holland and company beat the hell out of New Day and move on. But if they still want this to be a big feud, culminating into a six-man tag team match, then quite obviously New Day's got to find somebody. And I don't know who that somebody's going to be. So I will say this, and I've said it before. Pat McAfee adds a lot to the broadcast booth. He is extremely good at what he does. And I was one of these people that when they started shifting announcers, I said, oh, dear. And you know how the first guy worked out. He was terrible. And I was like, here we go with a whole stream of people who's never going to live up to the people we grew up listening to. Pat McAfee is on that level. He is every bit on the level of the people we grew up listening to. He is very, very fun to listen to. He gets it. This is the problem. There's a whole bunch of announcers who have great voice. They don't stutter over their words, study the business so they know what the moves are called and everything, but they don't have that passion of being like a fan. Pat McAfee, the best way to describe his announcing is, if you had a very boisterous friend who you went to a wrestling match with and they got a little tipsy and they just absolutely are screaming at every match and they're enjoying every second of being out, a night out. That's how it is to listen to Pat McAfee. I think he's done a brilliant job, Tom, and I think he deserves a lot of accolades for it.
Oh, 100% agreed. I watched some of SmackDown this week. I caught it late. And Pat McAfee it's one of those things where you kind of stop paying attention to what's going on in the ring and just listen to Pat McAfee because you don't know what he's going to say and how he's going to come out with it. And he's fun to listen to, just like Jerry Lawler was. He's not a Jerry Lawler, but he's up there. He's on my top five, honestly. I did want to comment on the New Day thing where you said they might get a third member or reveal a third, not a third member, but maybe a fill-in. My spidey senses tell me it might be Titus O'Neil.
I mean, it could be, but he's been away from the ring for so long. I don't know if they'll do that or not. Titus has certainly got the personality. R-Truth has the personality. There's a few people there they could get to have the personality. Kevin Owens, if he was a face, could still have done it, but he's not a face, so he can't do it. And he's on the other, he's on the other brand. So that's going to be, it'll be tough, but they're going to have to do it if they want to successfully put an end to this feud. Because I don't know what you keep promoting it. You had Butch Attack again this week, so you're definitely promoting it. So you're going somewhere with it. So let's see. Now, the Pat McAfee thing, he was hilarious this week. He puts the wrestlers over the way he should, Mike. He's literally saying, about Butch, he's a psychopath. Look at him. He's like a little psychopath just jumping around. And it's kind of funny because that's sort of what fans are thinking, too. He seems to have his finger on the pulse of what fans think.
Oh, yes. Think about this. Rick Boogs wouldn't have been as big if Pat McAfee wouldn't have been there. Think about that.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point because it was Pat McAfee jumping up on that table, dancing and being so whatever that really got that over. You're absolutely right about that. See, this is when I said it's extraordinarily important, and this is why I said extraordinarily important for an announcer to put over the people that are in that ring. Putting yourself over is easy. You got the microphone. The job of an announcer is to put Jerry Lawler does it well too, is to put over the people who are in the ring. And Pat McAfee gets that very much. Oftentimes, Corey Graves and Byron Saxton are more about putting their comedy act over of, what did you do this weekend, Saxton? Did you blow up your girlfriend? And yeah, I don't need to hear that. That has nothing to do with the people in the ring. McAfee puts the people over in the ring. That much I like about him. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what ends up happening. Maybe this is one of the matches tonight. Maybe they're going to give us some kind of a New Day plus against Sheamus and company because they certainly promoted it on SmackDown. So you'd think that there's going to be some preview match, Todd. I haven't heard anything about a pre-show match. Have you?
No, I haven't heard anything about that. It's the NXT TakeOver thing? They didn't do a pre-show match or anything, or a WrestleMania pre-show match last time. I don't think they're going to have a pre-show match by the looks of it. They haven't mentioned anything.
Maybe they won't. That's true. Maybe they won't. Maybe they're just going to do a whole bunch of interviews and stuff like that. Anyway, let's go with our one of the favored things we do on here, and that is what we consider is going to be the match of the night. I am going to go with AJ Styles and Edge. I just think these are two veterans. They've been around forever. They know exactly how to put on a great match. They know exactly how to get things done in the ring and tell the story they want to tell. I can't see this being a bad match. I can't see this not stealing the show. So I'm going to say AJ Styles and Edge. Mike, what's your thought?
That would be the odds-on favorite, but I'm not going to go with that. I'm going to go with Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey because they're friends. It's on Mother's Day. Ronda Rousey's a mother. They've already made a big deal about it. Yeah, we probably know who wins the match, but I think this match has a potential of these two girls are friends and they can work well together and they know what to do. And the psychology from both ends is going to be interesting for me to see because one of them is going to want to brawl, which is Ronda Rousey, and the other one's going to want to make it a wrestling match, which is Charlotte Flair. So the psychology is there.
Yeah, this is going to be a good for that for the reasons you mentioned, and one more, and that is that I think this is Ronda's big moment. I'm going to be very honest with you. Her last run in the WWE, I did not like. I didn't think she learned very much. I don't think she even tried to learn very much. She seemed to just be, I'm a UFC fighter who got paid to come into the WWE, and I'm just going to do what I know and stick with it. And I'm not necessarily a wrestler. I'm more like a celebrity who has a one-year contract to be a wrestler. This time around, I think she's getting it. I think she's starting to realize, I got to be a character. I got to show a little bit of weakness sometime, too. I got to show a little bit of vulnerability. Maybe I have to do a little less of UFC-style fighting and a little more WWE-style fighting. I think her and Charlotte becoming friends has probably helped Ronda Rousey immeasurably this time around. And I do think this is her moment. You're going to have to prove to me. This is her match to prove to me she belongs. This is her moment. Show me you can put on a great match with Charlotte Flair without any interruptions by other people or screwing it all up or making yourself look like Superwoman and Charlotte looking like nothing. If you can make this match a really good professional wrestling match and not wrestler versus UFC fighter, then I'll say absolutely 100% she belongs. Most anticipated match, Todd?
Yeah, absolutely right there. Like you said about what the thing going on with Ronda Rousey, that should be more like a WWE-style match. Well, my pick of the...
Wait a minute. Go ahead. Sorry about that. Go ahead. What's your pick?
My pick of the night, match of the night, it's got to be the six-man tag match.
That's a good one. It's going to be good. It's definitely going to be good. The Usos are always good. Randy Orton has really excelled. Riddle's gotten better. I like Drew. I like Roman. So that is going to be a great match. I think it's going to be a good one. Todd, Tom, what's the one you're most looking forward to?
Well, to comment on to build off of AJ and Edge, the last time they wrestled at WrestleMania, I actually picked that match to be the one that steals the show. And it really, the ending just kind of left a bad taste in my mouth, and they didn't really deliver. I'm looking forward to deliver tonight, and I'm sure that they will. But my match of the night, my lock of the pay-per-view is Ronda and Charlotte, because there's a lot riding on it. They promoted the heck out of it. Fans still, you know, seem to be really into it more than, or maybe just as much as. With the, of course, respect to the anticipation of the Bullet Club returning or whoever.
I agree with you. We're out of time, but we'll be back here tomorrow at 12 noon to talk about it. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.